Let's go to 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. I just said, since I can't speak in Spanish, because you wouldn't understand me and you don't have the gift of tongues, then I will speak to you in English. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, Primera de Tesalonicenses 1, verses 11 and 12. And in honor of God's word, let's stand, please. Let's all read together the word of God. 2 Thessalonians 1, 11 and 12. Let's all read together. Wherefore also we pray always for you, that our God would count you worthy of this calling, and fulfill all the good pleasure of his goodness, and the work that the name of our Lord Jesus Christ may be glorified in you, and ye in him, according to the grace of our God and our Lord Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your many blessings. Thank you for being able to preach your word this evening. Lord, I pray that you would anoint me with your Holy Spirit. I have nothing to say for me to preach. So I ask that you would take this, your word, and you would touch our hearts, that we would go out of here knowing it was good to be in the house of the Lord. For it's in Christ's name we pray and we ask it all. Amen. You may be seated. I think there are three things here in this passage of Scripture that will let us know why so many people are failing today. I've always wondered, why are there so many people giving up, throwing in the towel? And I think that these two verses will let us know. First of all, it says, wherefore also we pray always for you, that our God would count you worthy of this calling. And let me tell you something that you and I need to remember: who called us? And God called us. And the calling of God involves going. Look in verse 11 one more time. And fulfill all the good pleasure of his goodness and the work of faith with power. I think so many fail because they're not out to fulfill the good pleasure of his goodness. Sometimes people are out to fulfill their own work and what they want to do. But when you labor for the Lord, he chooses your job. And when you go where God wants you to go, it's because God has called you. 2 Timothy 1:9, it says, who hath saved us and called us with an holy calling. And I believe Paul is telling Timothy, like he told the people of Thessalonica, that we are not only saved, but we are called to serve him. And we must go about the business of spreading the gospel of Jesus Christ because he called us. And we must go and do the good pleasure of his goodness. My friend, my job is not a job that I chose. It is not a job of my choosing. It is a job that God gave me because he has called me to preach and teach Jesus Christ. And I will do so because it is a high and holy calling. I will do so because I believe that the callings of God are without repentance. So God has called us. But I want you to notice there in our passage of Scripture that it says that he has appointed you. He says he has called us. And in 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 11, he says that whereunto I am appointed a preacher. And you see, he not only has called us, but he's given us an appointment, and we must meet that appointment. He has anointed me to preach and to baptize and to start churches and to train nationals and to keep doing the job until he gives me my going home papers, or he comes home for me, comes for me and takes me home. So you see, there in Timothy, he tells us that he has called us, he's appointed us. And then it also says in 2 Timothy 1:13, He says, hold fast the form of sound words. In 2 Timothy 1:14, he says, that good thing which has committed unto thee, keep by the Holy Ghost. You see, the God that has called me, that has appointed me, has given me a command to hold fast and to keep that which he's committed unto me. You see, the job that God has given you, the job that God has given me, is one that we must embrace. That's why Paul said in 1 Corinthians 9:16, woe is me if I preach not the gospel. In our main work in Bethesda, we have right now 33 called out ones. And we call them the called ones, los llamados. I don't know how you would say that in English. But anyways, we call them the called ones. And I was talking to a preacher this morning, and I said, if I can end up with 10 or 15 of them, I will count it a blessing. But 33 right now say they are called of God. You know, some will fall by the wayside. Some will fall by the wayside because they were called by the glamour of preaching and not by God himself. Some will fall by the wayside because they're called out of enthusiasm and not out of a conviction that God had called them. And some will fall by the way. But I want you to know that if God has called you, he has appointed you, and you better embrace that calling with all your heart. Going, if God has called us, then he's appointed us. He has an appointment for us. Don't worry about that. One of our young men was telling me, Brother Danny, I don't know where God wants me. And I said to him, well, where don't you do not want to go? Because I remember when I was in Bible school, I would come to the altar and pray and pray and pray. There was a deacon that came forward and noticed that I was at the altar every service. And he said, Danny, what's wrong with you? I said, nothing's wrong with me. I just don't know where God wants me. And he said, Danny, have you ever thought of the places that you do not want to go? And I said, yes, there's two places I don't want to go. One is China, and one is Mexico. I don't want to go to those two places. And he said to me, well, Danny, if you've already made up your mind where you're not going, why would God tell you where he wants you to go? And I said, okay. So I'm supposed to say, God, I'm willing. And he said, yes. And the day that I said, God, I'm willing, I'll go where you want me to go, wherever you have an appointment for me, that's when God made it clear he wanted me to go, yes, to one of those two places, Mexico. Now, if you'll go back to 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, and verse 11. And I have not preached in English in over a year, so it's hard for me to pronounce some of these things. It's not Rodriguez y Jimenez y Monterrey y Guadalupe y Cuitláhuac y cosas tan sencillas como esas. And it's not one of those simple words like that in Spanish. It's Thessalonians. I'm just going to call it T. Y'all go to second T. Chapter 2, verse 11. In Spanish, there was an American that could not pronounce Nabucodonosor in Nebuchadnezzar. And so after a while, he tried Nabu, and so he shortened it to Nabu. And he said, let's just call him Nabu. So that's what I'll call Thessalonians. T. But there in verse 11, I want you to notice a second word, and it's the word going. The first word is going, the second word is giving. Look in verse 11. The last part of verse 11, and the work of faith with power. You say, Brother Danny, I don't see giving there. Well, I want you to note something, that if you're going to work for Christ, you're going to have to give everything. You're going to have to learn to give. I've learned that in the Bible, Jesus said that you could not be his disciple if you were not willing to aborrecer, honey. Love less is hate. Thank you. If you were not willing to hate your father, your mother, your wife, your children, and even your own self. And you cannot really serve Christ until you say, God, I'm willing to love you more than any other person. And then he goes on down and he says, you cannot be my disciple if you do not take your cross upon you and follow me. And I think the cross speaks of plans. I don't think that Simon of Cyrene had any plans of carrying Christ's cross when he came out of the field that day. When he came out of the field, he might have been coming out from work. We know he was a stranger because a Roman soldier could tell anyone that was not a Roman citizen to carry a load for a mile, and he had to do it. So he called Simon of Cyrene and he picked Simon of Cyrene out of the public and he makes him carry the cross of Christ. I do not believe that he put a pillow on his shoulder that day and said, today I'm going to carry someone's cross. I better be ready. He did not have any plans for that. And yet, God had plans for that. And he carried Christ's cross. And you see, you've got to be willing to serve Christ, even though it's not your plan. But you must be willing to serve him. And then Christ say, if you do not forsake all you have, you cannot be my disciple. You've got to learn to love Christ more than your possessions. And I think a lot of people go into the ministry thinking that this is an easy job, that there's not much work to it. But the Bible says here in 2 Thessalonians, and the work of faith. It's a job, my friend. It is work. I demand of everybody, and of course I demand it of myself, that we all turn in a work report, a weekly work report. I remember a missionary that came to work with us, and if I mentioned his name, some of you might know him, so I'm not going to mention his name. But he had been working with a Calvinist for 4 years when he came to work with us. And when he showed up on Sunday, and he said, preacher, what do we do? And I said, show up Monday. When he showed up Monday, I gave him a work report sheet, and I said, I want you to fill this out. I want you to fill out everything you do for Christ on this sheet of paper. And I want at least 48 hours. I don't want 40 hours. I don't want 45 hours. I want 48 hours because the work week in Mexico is 48 hours. And I want 48 hours. And I do not want you to include your devotions, your prayer, or your church services. Those are natural Christian things. That's not your job. Your job is other than that. So the first week came by and he didn't turn in a work report. I said, brother so-and-so, why haven't you turned in your work report? He said, well, brother Jones, to be honest with you, it's been hard for me to work so many hours. He said, when I was with that other missionary, I'd say on Sunday night, what do we do now? And he'd say, just show up Wednesday night. And then I'd show up Wednesday night, and I said, what do we do now? And he said, just show up Sunday night or Sunday morning. I said, well, that's not the way it is here. We work, and we work. People that come in and say, I want to work. I say, you've got to be willing to trash your plans for God's plans. Trash your wants for God's wants. And I believe that that's what makes a ministry work, is work. They used to teach us in Bible school that the ministry was 10% inspiration and 90% perspiration. But we've forgotten that. We think the ministry is just preaching. Well, preaching in English is work. I believe that you should go soul winning. We have Wednesday morning soul winning. Wednesday evening soul winning, excuse me. Saturday morning soul winning. Saturday evening soul winning. We started a Sunday afternoon soul winning just 2 weeks ago. One of our ladies says, well, Brother Jones, that's the only day I could go witnessing, and we don't have a witnessing program on Sunday afternoon. Just guess what? You just started it. We will have one. And we do. 87 different people went out to win souls last week. You've got to get in your head. It's part of the ministry. It's work. The work of faith. I want you to notice that it's not only work, but what the giving will have to be of faith. We must give our faith. It cannot only be calculation. It must be consecration. Faith in God's word. Faith in God's promises. Faith in God's provision. Faith. That's why people will step out and go to the Bronx in New York with only $1,000 in support a month to reach those people. I said, Chewy, why are you going there with hardly any support? He said, Brother Jones, I've got to go. I've got to go. I've got to go. That's faith. You do not give by faith, your people will not give by faith. I believe that we must not only give our work, give by faith, but we must also give with power. You see, I find something very curious in the Bible. I find that in the Bible, like begets like. If you go to Genesis 1, you'll find it repeated, after his kind, after his kind. Now, the evolutionists don't like that. But it's in the Bible. And I think churches ought to reproduce churches. Pastors ought to reproduce pastors. Missionaries ought to... Hey, by the way, churches ought to reproduce churches. And I'm not talking about church splits. I think sometimes we have church splits because we don't want to reproduce churches. Institutes should reproduce institutes. Our main institute has started 8 other institutes. Three of them, in town. Hey, we're not in competition with one another. We're in the same business. Institutes should produce institutes after our own kind. If our people don't see the power in the pulpit, there sure will not be power in the pew. Power from on high. Power to preach. Power to reproduce. Power from God. People do not really care what you and I are doing for God. They want to know what God is doing for us. And I think that's what the power means. Paul said, to fulfill all the good pleasure of his goodness and the work of faith with power. We have going, we have giving, and then we have glory. Look at verse 12. That the name of our Lord Jesus Christ may be glorified in you. You know, I'm going to tell something about Dr. Barber tonight, and I know he's going to say something back at me. He's the last one to preach, so I better be careful. Amen. But back in the Wilbarger days, when our church was over there, I had started a Spanish ministry here, and I had been here about a year, and we had started a work from zero, and we had about 40 in Sunday school. But Dr. Barber had never mentioned anything to me. If he liked it, if he didn't like it. So one Sunday morning, I don't know if you remember this, Dr. Barber, I knocked on your door. And you were sitting at your desk, and you were drinking orange juice and studying your message. He said, come in. And so I went in. I said, Dr. Barber, I have a question for you. He said, what is it, Danny? I'm studying. And I said, Dr. Barber, I've been here a year. I've been working. We've won souls, and souls have been baptized, and we've got a Spanish department, and And I just want to know how you feel about it. I mean, I don't know what you feel about it. And he looked at me and he said, Danny, have I criticized it? And I said, no, sir. He said, then I like it. Shut the door on your way out. You know, I went out mad. And I went out crying. Because I thought he had insulted me, but he had given me the best lesson one could ever give a young preacher boy. Because you see, a lot of times we work for our glory, for what we want. See, 1 Corinthians 3:9 says we are laborers together with God. It's not my work, it's God's work. And he's commissioned me, and I'll go and I'll give. But I better be careful to give him the glory. You and I better be careful. To God be the glory. I want to close with this. There was a young man who's a janitor in our church, our main church in Mexico. He made a decision during camp. I did not get to talk to him. So before he had to leave, so by midweek services he could clean the church, he asked if he could give a testimony. And I said, you can give a testimony before the last class. And he gave this testimony. He says, my name is Paulino Antonio. As you know, I'm a janitor of the church. But last night, God convinced me that that wasn't really my job. I thought, uh-oh, here comes another called one. But he said something very simple. He said, I'm going to be a janitor for God now. Not for the church. And I think if I'm a janitor for God, I'll do a better job. And I just want to say I'm sorry for not being a better janitor until now. But from now on, this job that I have is because God wants me to do it. You see, young people and adults will never really do something for Christ unless we're convinced this is what God wants us to do. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Father, thank you for your many blessings in our lives. And Lord, forgive us where we failed to give you the glory. Forgive us where we failed to give. Sometimes we get tired of giving. Forgive us when we fail to go. Help us to take hold and grasp this calling because we do have an appointment with you. In Jesus' name, amen.